the harvest. Everything this morning is the harvest. And we're gonna have a harvest offering here in just a minute. We have our harvest baskets up here. Living on a farm, I had to call my mom yesterday, and I had to ask her a question about Farmer Phil. You're going to know Farmer Phil. He lives about 3 miles from our farm. I knew Farmer Phil when I'd visit my grandparents from California to South Dakota. And we'd make that 33-hour drive in a car. And I remember seeing this farmer guy out there. I said, "Who's that?" And he said, "Well, that's Farmer Phil." We moved out there when I was a junior in high school, and I'd see Farmer Phil. Because just on the other side of one of our quarters, our sections, Farmer Phil had some land right by my dad. My dad's been trying to buy that land forever. My grandfather tried to buy that land from Farmer Phil. My brother will probably farm after my dad's done, and he'll probably try to buy that land from Farmer Phil. Farmer Phil doesn't do anything. He has tractors. I see him on his tractor. He's got one of these 1930-something open cab tractors. And you'll see Farmer Phil. He's 89 years old. 89. And you'll see him out there on the farm. And you'll see him out there on his tractor. But the one thing you'll never see Farmer Phil doing, he never grows any crops. He doesn't do anything. He's got his bib overalls. He's got his tractor. He's got his truck. He's got his trailers. Every once in a while, you might see a cow or two out in the field grazing. Farmer Phil doesn't do anything with his land. And we have been trying. And he is determined to take to his grave. He will not sell his land. Farmer Phil, super, super nice guy. But he will not sell that land. He will not farm that land. And I got to thinking about that this morning because we're going to harvest. We're going to have a harvest. And I thought, Phil, you don't have a harvest. Every year my dad and his brother and all the farmers out there, they have a harvest. I've been a part of a harvest. It is a great time of the year. Out in the combines, when those golden wheat fields that we sing about, America the Beautiful, and you see in South Dakota these beautiful waves of grain. It is honestly, if you've ever been to the Midwest, you know what I'm talking about. From Oklahoma up through Kansas, Nebraska, all the way up to North Dakota, you will see some of the most beautiful land, and it goes on forever. And I'll tell you, harvest time is incredible. You get the combines out, you've got the trucks, and everybody's excited, and you start filling the grain bins, those empty grain bins, and all winter long, you could hear the hollows of the winds of the Dakotas blowing through those metal grain bins, but not in August, not in September, and not in October, because the harvest is happening. You know, it's like that in churches. Churches can become like Phil. In fact, Jesus approached it, and he said, "Look around, guys. Take a look." And could you imagine the throngs of people, the 5,000 that Jesus was feeding? The multitudes that were so crowded at the Sea of Galilee that as Jesus went there to teach, it was so crowded he couldn't hardly move. And he finally got himself into a boat. And he said, "Look at this, guys. Have you looked outside lately? Have you seen what's going on?" And Peter, big fisherman, Peter, and James and John, the sons of thunder, which the Bible calls them, fishermen, huge, burly, hard-pressed, calloused-hand fishermen. What's he talking about? "Look, guys, look at the people. Have you looked outside lately? Have you realized there's a recession going on? Do you know that Chrysler is laying off 5,000? Have you seen the Dow? Do you know people are hungry and they're losing their homes?" And he says to these guys, "Hey, have you seen what's going on?" "Oh, have we seen what's going on? These people won't leave us alone." No, guys. The harvest is plentiful. Guys, have you seen what's going on? These people are ready. They are ripe. They're looking for something. You know, we're a church. We're 2 years old. I can hardly believe when Susan and I were sitting in our car and God said that. I turned to start a church. I turned to my wife driving down Pine Grove and I said, "Honey, I believe God wants us to do this." And she goes, "Okay." And it was kind of silent. And then we drove some more and we got home and I said, "I know exactly what God wants us to do. Exactly what God wants to do." And she said, "Really, what's that?" From Arby's by the old Farmer Jack's to our house, which is hardly 2 miles. God had spoken so absolutely clear to me, and he says, Midge, have you seen outside lately? I said, oh God, I have. He said, I want you to start a church, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to harvest and ask for people to come join you in that harvest. I said, I'll do it. I said, how are we going to do it? And he said, I want you to tell them to step up, step in, and step out. You got it, God. Everybody step on in. Come on in. Step up to the plate. Grab a sickle because we're going to step out. There's a harvest out there. Are you ready to harvest? That's a good place to say amen. I was a part of a church, and I've been doing this for 25 years. I can't hardly believe that. I know you look and you say, you are so young. You couldn't have been doing this for 25 years. I know. It's okay. I know I look young. It's okay. Never mind. 25 years. I've been in churches all over the country. Alabama, Iowa, Oklahoma, Michigan, South Dakota. I've seen it. I've seen churches. Do you know that 80% of churches in America are dead or dying? 80%. Every study will show you that 8 out of 10 churches are stagnant or dying. 8 out of 10. Can I tell you what, folks? There's a lot of Farmer Phils out there, and they call themselves the church, and they haven't harvested a single wheat of grain in years. And I was a part. I've seen that. I have seen this. I've been in churches. I remember going to a conference. I shared it at our conference. I remember going to the church conference and seeing all the churches from 2 states come together and all the pastors. And we had to give our reports. And there was every church alphabetically, you know, from Applegate to Zenith. There they were, all the churches reporting all of their statistics for the year. And there was one in there. I mean, it had attendance. It had Sunday school. It had giving. And there it was. How many people had been saved? And do you know that 8, and I counted it, 8 out of 10 churches had 0. In 365 days, there was no harvest. And I thought to myself, that's a lot of tractor driving for a lot of nothing. And it just breaks my heart. And when God said, I want you to do this, I want a harvest, I want you to know there's a harvest coming. There's a harvest coming. And the harvest is plentiful, the Bible says. God says there in that verse in Matthew that Jesus himself said, there's a harvest. In fact, James turned around and he wrote it down in his book in chapter 2. James said, you show me your faith by what you say. I'll show you my faith by what I do. Faith without works is dead. You say to your brother who is in need, oh, go and be well, I pray for you. And yet you do nothing to meet that need. I tell you the truth, you have no faith. Because faith without works, unaccompanied, is dead. Even the devil believes in God and yet has no salvation. Was it not Abraham who is justified by faith by what he did? I want you to know today, there's a harvest, and it's plentiful. There's a harvest, folks. Have you looked outside? There's a harvest out there. There are people who are saying, I want something different. I want to know that there's something more in this life. As a church, I wore a tie this morning. And I know a lot, so I've already had people, I can't wait till next year. People already come and go, Pastor, you're wearing a tie. You clean up real fine. Now, if you're new here, you understand there's not too many Sundays you see me in a tie. It's not that I don't like ties. I'm just not sure what their purpose is. I just don't know what they're for. They're kind of tight. They're kind of here. They're kind of there. They look nice. But you know what? If you have a tie, that's great. If you don't have a tie, that's great. As churches, somebody handed me something the other day. As a church, I know this. It's not what I'm wearing that's important. It's what I'm doing that's important. As a church, I understand it's not how much I know that's important to God. That's called bad religion. Oh, how much do you know? No, good religion is how much do you do? That's good religion. In fact, James said it earlier in his book in chapter 1. True religion is this, to take care of the widows and the orphans. Feed one another, help one another. That's what true religion is. Some people think true religion is how much do I know? And I say, who cares what you know? If you don't do anything with it, you are Farmer Phil. You know everything about farming, but you've never raised a crop. Don't be a farmer, Phil. Don't do that. Somebody handed me a card the other day in the community, and it said, are you tired of church? Are you tired of a bunch of hypocrites? Well, we're not a religion. We're a church that you want. And you know what? And you're going to find a bunch of people in shorts, and you're going to find people in T-shirts. And I thought, you know, that's kind of a good concept, but at the same time, I felt like they were apologizing. There are some churches that actually apologize for being church. Well, we don't want to be too churchy. We don't want to say too much about God. There are churches that are doing that. And I say to you, I'll bet when people walked in, they knew they were coming to church. You don't have to apologize. In fact, the last thing we need to do is apologize for God. The first thing we ought to do is say, here's God. Because we live in a world that is so apologized for God that they can't find God even when they go to church. We've got to have a harvest. It's coming, folks. The harvest is plentiful. Jesus said, take a look. People are hungry. Don't be like the world. You know what the world is like? My dad, I remember one year, he said, plow it under, son. Take the plow out to this field. Plow it under. I said, whoa. No, Dad, what do you mean? He says, plow it under. I remember plowing fields under. Harvest. We didn't harvest. We plowed. I said, well, what do you mean by that? And I learned that the government said, we'll pay you more money sometimes to plow your field under because we have such a surplus, or we want to do this with the land, or we want to do conservation with the land. We'll pay you, even though you planted the crop, we'll pay you more money to plow that down right now and not to harvest and then not to grow anything for a couple of years than to grow a crop. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And that's it. We live in a world that our government says to us as a church, have a farm, but don't plant any seeds. We live in a world that has government that says, we'll even pay you. We'll give you tax donations and write-offs as a church. But whatever you do, don't harvest the crop. Don't take Jesus to the world. Don't bring Christ to the courtroom. Don't bring Christ to the legislation. Don't bring Christ to the schools. Whatever you do, don't harvest. And we live in a world that would rather, our government that would rather pay us to be quiet than for us to harvest. And I say to you, harvest. Here it comes. Get ready. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. Several months ago, we gave away our offering. This morning, we're going to come up and get a chance with your prayer request to bring a prayer request to God. Say, God, here's the harvest. You can put a praise on those cards and say, God, here's a praise in my life. In the last 2 years, what God has done here, we said we're going to harvest. Grace is about the harvest. A lot of great things have happened in 2 years. We gave away our offering. We said, here, take this. There were a couple thousand dollars just floating around in plates that we were passing out. And people went, what are you doing? I said, take this and go do something. People did. We're still hearing stories. I mean, one lady took it and she went to work. She didn't know what to do with that $10. She says, God, what am I going to do with this? Harvest. The harvest is plentiful. It is plentiful. And she took it to work and she started telling her coworkers, our pastor gave away the offering. And really? Your church did what? We gave it away. What are you supposed to do with it? Well, I don't know. He said, pray about it and see how you can go bless someone. I don't know what to do with it. And someone said, I want to be a part. Here's some money. And somebody else said, I want to be a part. Here's some money. That $10 turned into over $800 at her work. And they went to a family and they said, here, we want to bless you. You know what? There's a harvest and it's plentiful. The grain bins are full. Another lady, she said, what am I going to do with this? And she went to, she was going through McDonald's, said, God, what do you want me to do? And God spoke to her and said, here, give it away. So she says, here, I want to pay for the next 10 people who come through here for their coffee. And she's been doing stuff like that ever since, everywhere she goes. Could you see people driving through going, here's a cup of coffee. Someone wanted you to know that their church is doing this, and they just want you to know in God's name that they just want to bless you. Here's a cup of coffee. What? What do you mean? Well, they were doing this whole thing, and I know it doesn't make it here. And they had to do this 10 times, and they did it. 10 times they did this. Could you imagine the conversations when they go home? There's a church that wants to harvest, and the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We did Triple H last year. There were men and women. I mean, now when I say men and women, some of you guys might think this is a youth thing. It's not a youth thing. It is a God thing. To say, are you willing to go and grab a cardboard box and say, I'm going to go out there. I may not even sleep. I may be standing around the fire. I may be gathering food. I might go out and collect cans. I might go out and collect clothing. But you know what? I'm going to be a part of this for 30 hours. Why? Because they know there's a world out there that can't say, 30 hours is up. I'm going home to my warm house, and I'm going to get me, oh, what's in the fridge? They can't do that. Last year, we raised $7,000 to put into the harvest. We had a harvest last year. God is doing things. And Triple H, again, helping the hungry and the homeless this year, our goal is $9,000. Why? So that we can do another reverse thing. We're going to do a reverse Christmas. We had a meeting the other day. And in that meeting, there was a couple that are new to our church, and they said, you know, Pastor, last year, and for the last several years, we've worked with the Salvation Army. Do you know that last year, 1,700 families came to us at the Salvation Army? Not 17 families, not 1,700 people, 1,700 families. I said, is that bad? She goes, we could only do 1,100 families from the Salvation Army. They're out there ringing the bell. They can only do 1,100, only do 1,100 families for Christmas. I said, is that bad? She goes, the year before it was 700. Last year it was 1,700. This year, could you imagine? And I said, you know what? That's, I think, why God laid reverse Christmas. We want to bless people. I want kids to be able to come through and be able to walk up and be able to say, here. And it's not just about giving toys, because people are abusing this, by the way. That's one organization in our community. There's Toys for Tots. There's the Goodwill. There's all these other things. There's so many. There's the Angel Tree. There's so many organizations. And do you know there are people that actually take advantage of these things? There are moms who will get a hold of some toys, and they'll take them back with the receipt or the sticker on them, and they'll take them back, cash in, get the money, and keep it for themselves. There are people, and I've seen it. We've done it. We've done the Angel Trees. I've walked in with grocery bags and presents, and I'll walk into the house, and I'll look at their tree, and they'll have more stuff under their tree than I've got under my tree. And I won't say it out loud. It's a bit embarrassing. And you'll look and go, oh, someone's already been here. A lot of people have already been here. And I'm standing there with my measly 5 or 6 presents and 2 bags of groceries. I've been there as a pastor. And I've seen this. I thought, that's too bad. How can we do this in such a way? It shouldn't be about the toys. And we don't want the kids to know, hey, it's, you know, this Christmas, you're needy. Well, you ought to have a G.I. Joe. You're needy. Well, you ought to have a game system. That's not what it's about. It's about Jesus Christ. You're needy. We want to give you the wonderment of what Christmas is all about. We want kids to walk through this thing and they pick up a gift, whether it's a little football, whether it's a pair of shoes, whether it's a Barbie doll, I don't care. We want kids to be able to grab a gift and be able to just have that wonderment of going, I came through this thing and it was incredible. And over here is a living nativity in the story, for unto us a child is born. And like little Charlie Brown in the story of Christmas, you know, you got some little guy there sitting there reading the story of Christmas while it's being acted out right there in front of their face. That Santa Claus, they could go up and they'll actually get a card from Santa Claus and they'll say, I'm St. Nicholas, and I just want to say Merry Christmas. Because in 300 A.D., when I was a priest, I left the priesthood and started orphanages, and I felt so bad for the children who had nothing and the girls who had no dowries that I began finding businesses and stuffing stockings and throwing them through the windows and the chimney flues, so that little girls could grow up and get married and have a dowry and welcome St. Nicholas. And why did I do it? Because Jesus Christ came to my home and in my heart. And so I continue that. That little kids can actually know the true story of who St. Nicholas is, but it's because of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine kids and adults and parents just walking through this wonderland, going down Main Street, hearing Christmas songs, getting candy canes, decorating cookies, walking through, and no charge, and then coming around the corner, and there's our food trucks lined up that hundreds of families, if you need it, take it. If you got it, give it. There's no cost. There's a harvest. There's a harvest coming. And this lady from McMoran, she said to me, she goes, Pastor, how many people do you think you'll reach? I said, I don't know. I've never done this before. Hundreds? Thousands? And at our meeting, someone said, we're going to be out of everything on Friday night. I said, oh, no. Oh, no, we won't. I don't think God called us to do this. And he's not going to provide the harvest. You see, he said the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. God taught me about a harvest when I was living on a farm. And here's how he taught me. The harvest when I was on a farm went something like this. God says to me when I first became a Christian and I was in pre-law school and doing what I was doing. I remember one summer, right before my senior year of college to graduate from the university with my pre-law studies and make my father, who is a lawman, my grandfather, who is a farmer but a circuit court judge, my three uncles, who were detectives and cops and sheriffs, my aunt, who was a cop. Kind of a pattern here. I was 3 weeks from starting school, and God called me to the harvest field. I said, you got it, Lord. I'm ready to go. And I'll never forget that day I got home from where God had called me at this place where I was worshiping and meeting with about 100 other Christians. And I got home to the farm, and I told my father. I said, Dad, I'm not going back to the university. I'm going to transfer. I'm going to Oklahoma, and I'm going to be a pastor. And I'll never forget that day because my father looked right at me. And he said, no, you're not. Son, you're on a high, a spiritual high. That's not what God has for you. It'll go away. In 25 years, it hasn't gone away yet. I've been high a long time. Some people say, he's really high. I remember when my dad said that to me on that day, it wasn't like it is today. On that day, as a young man in college, my heart dropped out of my chest. You ever have your throat just, you ever have that feeling that life just ended? I walked outside, I went down to the chicken house, I looked up in that beautiful Dakota sky, and I said, God, I just tears coming down my face. I said, God, my dad says I'm not going. I don't have the money to go to a private school. I can barely afford the university. Now you want me to go 800 miles away. I can't do this, God. And God spoke to my heart and says, you don't have to. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send them. We were out there harvesting. I'm driving the grain truck like I always did. My dad in the combine, my uncle in the combine, my other uncle in the combine, and all my brother and my cousins driving those things back and forth from those wheat fields. And we're east of the farm, just on the other side of Preacher's Creek. I can't make this stuff up. Preacher's Creek, on the other side, harvesting oats. And if you know anything about farms, it was 20 bushel. We were running 20 bushel an acre. That is a very, very good crop. God was blessing us. My dad's in the combine. And as he's combining and he's dumping it in, he's asking this question. I'm driving back and forth from that field to the elevator up at Craven's Corner, 5 miles away and back to the field. Up to the Craven's Corner, up to the elevator and back. I took my lunch break. I'm in the farm house grabbing some lunch on my way back from Craven's Corner. Took my hour break. I'm watching some Days of Our Lives. Need to know if Marlena is going to make it or Stefano is going to rule the world. I remember this. Some of you are going, hey, he's right. I know I'm right. Every day I had my days. That's terrible. What kind of man watches Days of Our Lives? Well, I did. Sorry. My dad came running in because he was in that harvest, in that combine, and he was praying. And he said, God, what are you going to do with my son? And God spoke to him in that tractor, spoke to my dad. And he's not this saint, but he spoke to my dad because my dad asked God a question. And if you ask God a question, he's going to speak to you, regardless of your circumstances. And he said, Bob, I'm going to take your son into the ministry. Your son is going to be a pastor. My dad came running in from the field. He came to the farmhouse when he got lunch. And as he came into the house, I heard the door open. And I thought, oh, he's mad. I better get myself. I got my sandwich. I'm around the corner in the living room. He comes in through the kitchen. I'm thinking, oh, no. Did I do something wrong? Because you could hear the stomp, 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 stomp. And it was an aggressive entrance. It wasn't just, I'm coming for lunch. I thought, oh no. I turned around. He looked at me. He says, hey. I said, what? He says, you are going to Oklahoma. You're going into the ministry. I am? He goes, yeah, I was in the field talking to God. You were? And he spoke to me. He did? He said, Bob, your son's going to go to Oklahoma to this school, and you're going to pay for it. Now, I say that because you have to understand, we were running 20 bushel. And here's my dad. It wasn't just that God had spoke to him, because God never speaks to us about the harvest unless he gives us a harvest. And I learned about the harvest being plentiful because in that moment, my dad said to me, he goes, Mitch, I know this sounds crazy. In fact, I pulled my file up. I have these old papers I typed because I also doubled and moonlighted at the sheriff's department for my uncle as a dispatcher. And it was before computers. And I typed every word of that testimony of when I got saved, about 5 or 6 pages, because I never wanted to forget this. I didn't want my kids or my grandkids someday to forget this. And in there, just to make sure it's exactly accurate, my dad said to me, we were running 20 bushel. And I asked God. God spoke to me and said, you're going to pay for it. And of course, my dad was a lot more excited than I am right now. But he said, Mitch, we're running 40 bushel. We're running 40 bushel. And from that moment on, that entire field, 160 acres, we were running 40 bushel. We went to the next field, and we weren't running 20 bushel. God gave us a harvest in our lives. God always, always gives the harvest. And he says, hey, guys, take a look outside. Have you seen what's going on lately? There are hungry people. And God called Susan and I to start this church 2 years ago. And I want you to know, God, the devil doesn't want a harvest to happen. He doesn't want you to know this, that God said, there's a harvest. Trust me. Grab the sickle and you look in the field and you go, God, there's nothing in the field. Wait. But there's nothing in the field. Wait. And some of us don't want to pick up the sickle. We're like 80% of the churches. Some people don't even want to pick it up because they look and they go, nobody wants God. Nobody wants Jesus. In fact, the government's telling us not to pick up the sickle. Folks, you look in the field and you go, but there's nothing there, Pastor. There's nothing there, Pastor. There's nothing in the field. You don't understand my checkbook. You don't understand my situation. You don't understand. You're right. I don't understand. But when Jesus looked, he says, hey, boys, take a look out there. You see all these people? They're hungry. What do you have for the harvest? And they go, well, this little itty-bitty boy, we got nothing, but he's got a couple of fish and a little bit of bread. He says, grab it, boys. There's a harvest coming. And those guys grabbed a hold of it. He says, look around you. Who wants to be a part of the miracle? Be a part of the miracle. And they said, we do. And they started passing it around. And they started passing it around. And they kept passing it around. And they kept passing it around. And he says, guys, is there anything left over? Everybody eating? Hey, is everybody eating? And 5,000 people went, oh, yeah, we got plenty. He says, is there anything left? Oh, yeah, we got 12 baskets left. Hey, little boy. Thanks for being a part of the miracle. Little guy, you understand more about the kingdom than these guys have been walking with me for 2 years. Thanks for letting me use your fish and your bread. Be a part of the harvest. We're going to celebrate here in just a second. Let's have the ministry team come. They're going to play a song. I want to celebrate this. Someone said, well, should we pass around a plate? Should we do this? No, you have an envelope to put a prayer request down, to put a praise down, or to put your harvest offering in with your tithes. We have baskets up here that you can come as a family. There's something for everybody. There's a prayer. There's a praise. Or there's finances. There's something. I don't know what God has for you. I don't know what God has for you. Maybe it's just a loaf of bread. Just a loaf of bread to God is dinner for 5,000 people. For you, it's lunch. For God, it's a banquet. Look around you. Have you looked outside? Casey, would you just start something just a little bit real quick? My wife and I have been praying about what God would have us do as a family. And I share this not... You have to know this. You have to know this. God laid on my heart. I said, I want to do something in the harvest, God. I don't have anything. He said, pick it up. And I'm like so many of you. I looked into the field. And then somebody called me up and says, hey, would you like to do this wedding? I said, oh, a wedding. I'll get a fee. I'll use that for the harvest. So a few weeks ago, I did a wedding. And pretty soon, my kids, I need a pair of shoes, Dad. Anybody relating here? wife says, "We got no gas in the car." Little bit by little bit, that harvest offering was going by. I said, "Oh God, I had in my heart set this amount of money. This amount of money. I guess it's not going to happen." And God says, "Look, you're going to do the harvest. You want to be a part of the miracle? Just be a part of the miracle. What have you got?" And I looked around and said, "I haven't got anything." And this week, my wife said, "We were like, what are we going to do?" And she says, "Don't you remember?" I said, "Oh, that's right." She goes, "Let's go to the hospital. Because God has a harvest." He said, "Look around the harvest. Look around the harvest." My wife and I went to the hospital 2 days ago. And the hospital gave her the money 3 months ago. 3 months ago, she was walking through the parking lot, and God dropped a harvest right in front of her. She found two giant wads of money rolled up and packaged. And what did she do? "Whoa, yeah, I've got something." No, she went in and she says, "Here," to the security, "somebody is going to be looking for this money." And they said, "We'll take your name, ma'am. After 90 days, if somebody doesn't claim it, it's yours." We went Friday. We got our harvest. Because the field might have been empty, but God can grow anything, anywhere, anytime. And I'm excited because I want to be a part of the harvest. And so we're celebrating this morning the harvest. I don't know what God has for Grace, but I want kids at Christmas time to hold up their boxes and go, "Mom, Dad, there's a gift. And we saw baby Jesus in the manger, and we got his story." Hundreds and thousands of children. I want to see it happen. 1,700 families, bless God, bring them on. I want to see our kids and our adults who are sleeping in cardboard boxes going, "There's a harvest coming." And last year when we did, a guy comes up and goes, "Pastor, I was homeless for 9 years in Detroit. I heard what you're doing. I'm down at the rescue station. All I have for my name is $50. Here, I hope this helps." There's a harvest. There's a harvest. There's a harvest. I put in there, the harvest isn't money. The harvest is souls. I put in your envelope, "My prayer is, my praise is." Because God doesn't give us the grain just to eat. He gives us the grain so that we can share Christ with our world. Have you looked outside lately? Let's celebrate. Father, as we stand, let's stand together. Father, as we stand and sing this song once again, we bring up to the harvest our prayers. God, answer these prayers. Father, I would imagine on those prayer cards that are being brought up that God, there are salvation requests for sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, moms and dads, neighbors. God, we want a harvest where there is none. God, there's going to be praises, things that you've done, stories that we're going to celebrate. Father God, bless the gifts, bless the giving, bless the prayers, bless the harvest. We want to be a part of the miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing this, as an individual, as a family, you're welcome to bring the harvest up, your prayers, your offering, your tithes, your offerings, up to these baskets at the front. Let's sing.
These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide as the world. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.